Okay. We were in the middle of last week, we were in the middle of the Khuzari's point that the concept of feeding karbanos to Hashem is certainly not to be understood as Hashem requires things for His nourishment, for His well-being, and therefore He requests it of us. Certainly not. Rather, we're feeding Hashem's connection to us. Similar, and this He keeps drawing on this mashal, similar to the connection of the neshama with the body. The neshama's connection with the body is contingent on the body eating food. The body won't eat food, the person will die and the neshama will depart. But certainly the food is not nourishing the neshama in any way. And when the person dies, the neshama simply floats away but continues to exist just as it did when the person was alive. So what are you feeding when you're eating? You're not feeding the neshama, you're feeding the neshama's connection to you. So similarly, with the karbanos, you are not feeding Hashem, chas v'shalom. You are feeding the connection of the Shekhinah to the Jewish people. You're feeding the presence of the Shekhinah among the Jewish people. And now he elaborates on that point a bit more. So we begin. Uklaloi shel davar. Those of you who are looking inside, you both have the same edition?
Yeah.
Yes, let's find it here and then I'll tell you which page. Yeah, Uklaloi shel davar. It's a page
189.
There's the Hebrew. The way it works is with the body, Sheyia Hamezek Kuloi Metukan Umezuman Lekibwa and Hogas HaNefesh HaMedaberes. You have to make sure the body is in as good a state it can be in order to be able to be a receptacle for the Nefesh. Hashari Etzem Nifron, which essentially the Nefesh itself is something that's completely removed from any of this food or any of this business. Karoyv le'etzim ha-malachim. It's more like the malachim. Shenem Abraham, about whom it says, Dimidra ha'in imbisra lo'isayi. They don't reside with flesh. So the nefesh is not flesh-oriented at all. The yachul baguf chul malachus van hoga lo'ichul makoy. And when the neshama connects to the body, don't think that that means that the body contains it. What it means is that it connects to the body in a qualitative way. It's above time and space. The neshama is above space. It doesn't. Otherwise, we would know that our neshamas don't exceed 6 feet by 6 by 1 foot and 8 inches, whatever the dimensions of your body are. Right? But the neshama comes upon the person and guides the person. It has no benefit from that food at all, because it's way above it. Now the nefesh, which is actually the nefesh, as we said last week, is the lowest level of what we call soul. We're good to use the English word soul, because the truth is that in Lashon Kodesh, nefesh, neshama, ruach are all used interchangeably, even though they all really mean different things. The soul, the word soul, includes very many levels, the lowest of which is the nefesh. So when the body is all set up right, and it is in the right physical state, when it's properly fed, when it's properly nurtured, the nefesh will connect to the body. Then, once the nefesh is connected to the body, you can connect to all the higher levels of what we call the soul, etc., depending on how much you nourish it from the spiritual perspective. And certainly, ultimately, the Shekhinah won't rest only upon the nefesh. You have to have the nefesh in place in order to be able to hope to get to the higher spiritual levels of the neshama, of the shechina, etc.
So if your body isn't nourished, nefesh also can?
Well, basically, if we're talking in the extreme sense, if a person doesn't feed his body at all, it dies. And then there's no nefesh. That's what we mean. So that's not what we mean. Well, the truth is that even in a sense, well, let's answer that in two levels. We're talking here in the most basic sense, which means that without a functioning body, there is no nefesh. I mean, the body's got to be alive. In order to be alive, it depends on different parts of the body functioning, and it depends on nourishment, right? But also on the next level, the truth is that the more healthy a person is, the better he's able to function, the more vital his nefesh will be. It's like the Rambam says, keeping the body healthy is a fundamental element in serving Hashem. Because a person who's run down, a person who's sickly, there's a limit to how much he can focus, and there's a limit to how much he can accomplish. So, in a very basic way, if the body is not cared for at all, it dies, then there's no nefesh. Right? And on the higher level, the more qualitatively the body is cared for, the more vital the nefesh's connection to the body will be, and that ultimately will affect the extent to which it can connect to the higher levels.
An athlete has really toned his body. His nefesh is on a higher level?
Oh, so here we have to come back to what we said before. You're asking an athlete.
And he's got good nourishment, nutrition, food.
Oh, and he's in the optimal physical state. He's in the optimal physical state. So does he have the best nefesh? So let's repeat what we said before. That nefesh is the lowest element of what we call the soul. In fact, there's even what we call the nefesh habahamis. We'll call nefesh in a very, very simply understood way, life. Right? You can have an entire body with all the organs, but no life there. You can have blood with no life there. When everything is working to a certain extent, you've got life. Now, the fact that you've got life doesn't put you on any spiritual level. It's a springboard to an awful lot of spirituality, but it doesn't put you on a spiritual level. So you might say that that basic level of nefesh might be there in a stronger way with an athlete who's in optimal physical shape. But it begins there and it stops there. Could mean that a person who compromises a little bit on the vitality of that basic nefesh, he's not in as perfect shape as that athlete, but he's also focusing on nourishing all the spiritual elements, will be able to connect much higher. Right? Or if we'll put in another mashal, you know, in order to have a properly functioning business, you have to have good facilities. Right? You have to have an office that's well equipped. I remember my father was one time in business with, he originally worked with my grandfather and a few other partners. They used to get frustrated. This is a group of people who are very, very set in their ways. And he said about one of them, I remember he was laughing and he said, this guy is more interested in organizing his desk than doing business. Right? Sometimes you have a person who's all caught up in keeping his office at the cutting edge of technology, make sure he has all the latest equipment, make sure that the office is always being vacuumed and mopped and everything. But you have to compromise a little bit on your involvement with the office in order to actually do business there. Right? So don't put all your efforts into maintaining the office. The nefesh is the starting point. Life, right? It's the basic level where you start. But you want to go further from that. So the truth is that yes, once you get the nefesh established, you start nourishing that connection with the nefesh with all kinds of spiritual nourishment. And that accesses you to the higher and higher and higher levels. So now, of course, the neshama will not connect to a body that has no nefesh. Body that has no nefesh rots in the grave. So there's got to be the nefesh there. Once there's a nefesh, depending on, once again, what spiritual efforts the person is making, you can also connect to a ruach. You can connect to a neshama. You can connect to the higher levels of neshama. It can go higher and higher and higher. You can be an Arizal who connects to the highest places, right? But all that at the end of the day, the base of it all is the liver and the heart and the food that you're eating, right? So that's what's all the way at the bottom of this ladder that reaches the loftiest of places. So yes, Hashem, the Shekhinah, the spiritual presence will only rest on a place where there is a nefesh. That nefesh, now he's working with a concept that you see in many of the Kadmonim, which I don't completely understand, and I don't know if it's if that understanding was maintained throughout the generations. But basically the understanding is just like we described now, that there's a hierarchy in man's constitution, which begins from the most basic physical level and reaches the highest of levels. That is as follows. You have the hands and the feet, which are coarse, non-vital organs, right? They make up a lot of your body. They're coarse, non-vital organs, which don't play a vital role in the functioning of your body. Oh, they're very important. Hands and feet are very important commodities, right? But they don't play a vital role. What are they doing? They are basically working to put the rest of the body, to make the arrangements to be able to support the next level of vitality in your body. And that's the more inner organs. The more important organs in your body are your kidneys, your liver, your lungs, right? The hands and feet are taking care of a lot of their business. But ultimately they're supporting them. The kidney and the liver and the lungs, etc., are doing what? They're there to support even the more basic functions of your body. The transfer of the blood throughout the body. Right? The blood is the next level. Blood really is your life. That's why you see the pasuk, Adam hu nefesh, blood is the life. Now, also, I don't know how this is going to fit into what we know biologically today, but we'll talk about it on the figurative level. He says then the blood is actually coming for the purpose of the upkeep of the heart, which really is the peak of all the body's function. That really we understand that the opposite. The heart really is basically just supporting the whole system of the blood flow. But let's talk about it in these terms. It doesn't really make much of a difference. The point is the same. Right? So in other words, we have a whole system, supporting a whole system, which ultimately, we'll call it the heart, we'll call it the blood, the heart is the source of all the blood, whatever it is, the blood is already considered the most refined level of the physical body. The blood, the heart. We'll talk about that in a little bit more, biological terms. What's the blood doing? The blood is transporting oxygen. And oxygen is an even more refined level of one of your physical components. So it's going from very coarse, hard material organs to more refined organs, culminating with the blood and heart, culminating with the oxygen, until you're really moving already into the realm of the spirit. That is where already the nefesh connects. That's why it says in the pasuk, don't eat blood, because blood is the nefesh. What does that mean? The Mefarshim, they also say, the blood is the seat of the nefesh. And the nefesh is already what supports the ruach, the next level. The neshama, the next level. The next level, the next level. Higher and higher and higher up until the highest of places. That's the way it works with the body. So here he says, so yes, the Shekhinah won't connect unless there's a nefesh there. The nefesh has to connect with the spirits inside the body. We'll call it the oxygen, okay? There has to be those mediums connecting the physical elements of your body into the realm of the spiritual, right? Call it the blood. Just like you can have a fire which connects to a wick which is supported by the oil which is held in place by the glass. Right? So the glass ultimately is supporting the fire. But it's more and more refined. It draws the oil up. The oil evaporates and really provides the fuel for the fire. So divina psila yale. The wick is like the heart. That's the highest level of the physical composition. Balev tzorech al meshech adam. The heart has to be supported by the blood flow. Ba'adam lo yisave ki mesibas klei ha'ikol. And the blood flow can only must be supported by all of the different inner organs. Al kein hu tzorech alein tzumka. Therefore you need the stomach, hakaved, the liver, misham shem, and all the other inner organs. And of course it also needs the lungs supporting you. The agarain, the af, and in order to support those things, you need their servants. What's the servant of the lungs? The throat, the nose, right? The akum, the mesar, and you have all the different sinews inside the body and the different films, tissues, the whole respiratory system. All this works together in order to create the optimal situation for the blood going into the heart, in order to be able to transport out the carbon dioxide in the best possible way. And along with all this, in order to keep the system running right, all the waste of the food that you eat also has to be dealt with. You need more organs that are dedicated just to the business of getting rid of waste in order to keep the inside healthy. And the organs of the anus and the organs that bring the waste out of the body. Vaya guf mikola shel zachanu. And that basically is describing the inner workings of the body. But that's not all. In order for this whole system to work right, you need the body to be able to move from one place to another. In order for all this to work right, the body has to have the means of getting the external means of nourishment. For that, the legs and hands come very in handy. So he throws the legs and hands into the deal too. The legs and arms into the deal also. For the brach mimashiyazi keil. Also, this whole system is very nice. But if it suddenly finds itself in a fire, the whole system won't work. Once again, you need legs. Legs get you out of the fire. So, the kelim she'aviyoi lavi yitzchum e'alav. So yes, it also needs limbs that will interact with the outside world. Things that will bring you nourishment. Things that will push away dangers. So therefore you need the arms and legs, which are from an even further point supporting this whole system. So the arms and legs are also supporting the heart, although much more indirect. They support the systems that support the systems that support the systems that support the heart, that supports the nefesh, that supports all the connections to the divine. And also the it needs also mental capabilities, mental instincts, right? Fear is also an important part of human survival. You have to know what to be scared of, you have to know what to look for. You also need a memory system in order to record experience, to be able to draw on for your survival in life. You need a memory to help you based on experience, learn what to avoid. Right? Without memory, you wouldn't have many compunctions walking off a cliff. Why don't you walk off a cliff? Because when you were a year and a half old, you didn't pay attention to the difference between the end of the couch and what's beyond. You went further. You fell down, you got a bad bump on your head, and that bump contributed very much to your future in life. After getting that bump and a few more bumps, you stopped walking off surfaces. And that's why today you don't drive your car off a cliff. Ve'im chameishes achushim aniyim anistarim. That's what you have the five senses for. Where do these senses operate from? Primarily from the head. Also connects to the heart. Now, once the body is all properly set up in this way, once it all is set up in this way, it really turns its focus back to the heart, which is the peak of all this, which is actually the seat to the nefesh. That's already the most direct connection to the more divine levels. Here also he's taking an approach which is disputed by different authorities, or maybe not disputed, but whatever it is, he's saying that in the spiritual scheme of things, the heart is number one, the mind, the brain, I won't say the mind, but the mind we might actually associate with the heart. The brain is number two. But the brain is your mental faculties, right? So yes, the nefesh and the spiritual primarily connects with the heart, also filters into the brain somewhat, but the main thing is the heart. The truth is, we have to qualify that. We say, if we're going to talk in terms of mind, really the mind is the main thing, but it's the mind going along with the emotional system, the person's whole psyche. Well, whatever it is, after we've shown how all this works with the body, it's the same idea with the Beis HaMikdash. And now he's going to show very much how the Beis HaMikdash follows this model too. So too, it works with spiritual vitality, with Hashem Shekhinah resting in the Beis HaMikdash among the Jewish people. Like Yeshua said, here you will know that I am alive God among you. Which is as follows. How did the divine presence manifest among the Jewish people? With the fire. The fire in the Beis HaMikdash was the most physical manifestation of the Shekhinah's presence. This we're going to compare to the nefesh. What we do is provide all kinds of physical media. And as we're going to show, it's the same business like the body. There are the more outer ones and the more refined ones, leading up to the level where you already have the nefesh, or the fire, coming down and connecting to it. Of course, the fire is the most physical and lowest down manifestation of the Shekhinah, which represents much higher levels. But that's all anchored in the fire, which connects to the whole physical system that we set up. So how does that work? The fire would be activated through Hashem's desire. The fire was already not done by man. That was Hashem. Which was his sign that he wanted to be connected to this nation. The descending of the fire from above was the sign that Hashem was pleased and was accepting Klal Yisrael's offering. Which in other words is basically corresponding to the body. When everything is set up and functioning right, the nefesh comes and connects. So when the whole Beis HaMikdash system is set up and functioning right and is well nourished, the fire, the Shekhinah, comes and connects. They did light fires. And yet, there was a fire that used to come down from the above also. It says that at the end, still, it was their job to make sure they were always providing a fire. But then, it moved into the spiritual realm where it wouldn't go out, it would remain lighted after it should have gone out, etc. That was already a manifestation of the Shekhinah's presence. Now, why fire? Why was a fire used to represent the Shekhinah? The fire is the most non-physical thing of physical matter. Or in other words, gases. There might be other gases that are even less material than fire in that sense. But you can't see them, you can't really connect to them. Fire is the most aphysical matter in the world of physical matter. And therefore, fire is the perfect demonstration of where you're, that connecting point between the physical and what's above the physical. V'aya mekayim chula. Now, where did that fire come to rest? In three places. Shuman chel ve'akorbanis, on the fat of the korbanis, right? The fat of the korbanis was burnt on the mizbeach. Where were there fires in the Beis Hamikdash? Three places. There. The Asram, the Ashanan Akteris. The second place was where the Akteris was, and the golden Mizbeach inside. The Ashmanim, and also on the oils, on the menorah, which was lit with oils. Kederech Ha'esh, which is how fire usually works. Ashainen Anitlis, which can only be fueled with Kebachelev, the Shumanu B'Shemen. Which is fire, it's fueled through fats and through oils. So he likens this to the level of the blood, which can already fuel, provide that connection where the nefesh can come to rest. So the oils, the fats, were already a medium for the fire to connect. The fire already represented that fine level of the how do you say the trans something from the physical to the spiritual transcendence transition, that's what I was looking for. Now, the tziva kel yisbach b'mizbach oila of a mizbach akteris v'aminoira. So now, just like with the body, there are a lot of levels of things supporting all this. First of all, you have the big mizbeach of the oila, right? And you have the mizbeach of the akteris, and you have the minoira. What are they there for? They're there in order to support achakach oila. They're there to support the actual fats and the keteres and the oils of the menorah. So once again, similar to the body, you have that big mizbeach supporting the fats. The fats support the fire, which is the presence of the shechinah. Or you have the menorah supporting the oil, which once again supports the fire, which is the presence of the shechinah. Just like with the body, you have the inner organs supporting the blood, which supports the nefesh. Now, it goes further. Ulam, mizbach ha'oila li davik ba'ish ha'gluya. And now he says, these three places, which are meant to support those fires, really represent three levels of the fire. The outer mizbeach, the mizbeach where they burnt the fats, was the big mizbeach that was out in the open. It was in the chotzer. It wasn't concealed at all. And that had the most coarse forms of fuel. Fats from animals. A mizbeach chazov la'eshi yosa kalavidaka. And that supported a big bonfire, a big blaze. Then inside you had the golden mizbeach. With more refined fuels, right? Talk about the keteres, which supported a more refined fire. Smaller fire, more pure, more concentrated. Then you had, and then the menorah, which supported an even more refined fuel, the olive oil. This was the highest level of refinement, and therefore the fire on it was the most quality, the purest, and therefore this was really the place where, when we talk again in terms of the fire representing the presence of the Shekhinah, it was the menorah where the presence of the Shekhinah was actually bringing in the chachma of the Torah, the divine chachma to Klal Yisrael. That was the menorah. And now, as we already discussed last week, what the Beis HaMikdash with all of its avodas was doing was basically in order to attract the Shekhinah. Once the Shekhinah was connected on the Beis HaMikdash, it brought in a whole influx of spiritual plenty to Klal Yisrael. Now that spiritual plenty also manifested in the physical as well. And therefore in the Beis HaMikdash we had different things which also served as mediums for bringing in material plenty. Once you had the spiritual situation set up right, once you had the Shekhinah properly resting in the Beis HaMikdash, we also used the opportunity to translate that into material success and plenty as well. And therefore you had HaShulchan, the Davik Ba'atoyves HaGufiyas. You had the Shulchan with the Lechem Apanim, which was the conduit of bringing in material success and plenty from the upper worlds. K'may Sh'amar Rabbi Seinu, like the Chachamim said, Horeita Lizchake Miadri. The south side, which is where the Menorah was, the Menorah represented, more than represented, it was actually the conduit of divine wisdom into this world. It brought down the Chachma of the Torah, the Chachma of Hashem into this world. And therefore they said, a person who wants to become wise, head south, the direction of the Menorah. Alright, so this Asher Yatzpi, a person who wants to get rich, looking for material success, head north. That was the direction of the Shulchan, which was the conduit of material plenty. Now, Vekol Eile, now he says in all this, all of this avoida, all of this bringing down of the Shekhinah's presence with the fires, etc., was really directed to yet a higher point in the physical world. Kol Eila avoidus la'orim v'lakruvim. Really, the peak of the Mishkan was, or the Beis HaMikdash was, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Orin and the Kruvim. Asher heim madregas halev. All the rest, it's like all the blood flow, which already, again, we said, the blood can already constitute the seed of the nefesh. But the peak of it all is the heart. Where was the heart of the Beis HaMikdash? That was in the Kodesh HaKadosh, with the Orin and the Kruvim. With the lung supporting all that. So all the avodas of the Beis HaMikdash are for the purpose of those different levels of supporting the divine fire, which is all really directed at the heart of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Arin and the Kruvim, where the full-fledged effect of the Shekhinah's presence came to rest. And that's why the Kodesh HaKadosh was the most charged place on earth. Right? We already said how all of that activity, we said last week, how all of that activity in the Beis HaMikdash constituted the power station for the Shekhinah in Klal Yisrael. But what was the generator in the Beis HaMikdash? When everything in the Beis HaMikdash was running right, the Kodesh HaKadosh was active, which meant that the Shekhinah was there in its full glory. That's why the Kodesh HaKadosh was a very dangerous place. Right? People went in there only once a year. The highest spiritual person went in there, or at least the one who was supposed to be the highest spiritual person, the Kohen Gadol, and he had to really be up to par spiritually in order to be able to handle the spirituality, the charged spirituality of that place. If he wasn't up to par, he died. That's why they used to send him in with a cord tied to his foot. A little unpleasant. When he went into the Kodesh HaKadosh, they had a rope tied to his foot in case they need to reel him out afterwards. Often they dropped dead inside. This was especially so in the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, when the whole business was corrupt. And you had all kinds of corrupt Jews, irreligious Jews, bribing the Greeks
to buy the position of the Kohen Gadol. This went on year after year. They would send him in with the rope tied to his foot, and then they would pull him out. And then it was the next guy's turn to bribe the Greeks. So, so here again, we're seeing that hierarchy. And just like with the body, we need the more outer levels of support for this whole business. All this also, yeah, the mizbeches, which were there to support the fire, also needed additional things to support them. Kemaya kiyor, v'kanoi, the kiyor with its base, omel kochayim, umachtois, ukoreis, v'kapois, omenakiois, asirois, umazlegois, v'zulazeh, along with all the other vessels that we use in the Beis HaMikdash, such as the detans that they would use for the Mizbeach, the shovels that they would use to shovel off the ashes, the bowls that they would use to transport the Keteris, etc., the spoons that they would use to dish out some of the Keteris, the forks, etc., all the different vessels. And in addition to all this, you needed something, something to protect all it, right? Just like the body, with all of its internal organs. You have to have a nice layer of flesh and skin protecting it from the outside. So here also, you have the Mishkan with the coverings over it. And outside of that, it was contained by the courtyard of the Mishkan. Now, just like with the body that has to be transported from place to place, here also, it needed carriers. B'nei Levi, Shem HaKroivim. Who was chosen for this purpose? The B'nei Levi. That they are the closest to spirituality. Kol Shekei Me'es HaEgel. Certainly after the time of the Egel. Shenema Ve'os Walom Kol B'nei Levi. This is very interesting. Note what's going on here. As we said, this is a whole transitionary hierarchy between the most basic levels of physicality and the divine. So we're actually seeing how people mamish connect to this whole business. We have the Shekhinah, which rests in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is supported by the Mizbeches, with the fire of the Mizbeach, which is the presence of the more physical manifestation of the Shekhinah's presence, which is supported by the Mishkan, etc., which ultimately is supported by what? B'nai Levi, the most spiritual class of people. Ubacha l'nichbad shebahem. Here also there's a hierarchy. The most respectable among them, the greatest of them. Who Elazar HaKohen? It's Elazar HaKohen was chosen for what? Who noise l'nichbad shebedvarim, v'adak shebahem. He was the one chosen to be the carrier of the most refined, the highest level of these things. What were the highest level of things used in the Beis HaMikdash? K'maisha Omar, it's like it says in the Pasuk. K'udat Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, the job of Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Shemen HaMishcha, Uktoyas HaSamim, Omin Chasatamim, V'Shemen HaMar. It's like we saw before, the things that are actually burned in that fire that represents the Shekhinah. He carried the Ketores, the oils, the things that were actually going to be directly supporting the presence of the Shekhinah. All these things to which the pure fire connects to. The fire, which brings in that light of wisdom. And that also brings in the light, another manifestation of the Shekhinah's presence. Besides that, it was a conduit for the divine wisdom that all Klal Yisrael could connect to. It also was a conduit for Nevuah, which came to Klal Yisrael through the Urim V'Tumim. Now, what was the next level? So he was carrying the highest level of the Beis HaMikdash articles, the things that actually supported the fires. The next level was given to the next most, to the next greatest class of Levim. But then Ichbede Shebekita Yisrael Levim Acharov, to the greatest class of Levim afterwards, they Bnei Kahas, who were the children of Kahas, Lasei Soivarim Apnimi, they were the ones chosen to carry the inner internal organs, What are the internal organs? Kemayaoin ba shulchan va menorah va mizbeches. The oin, the shulchan, the menorah, the mizbeches, right? These are also the ones that are directly dealing, directly supporting the ones who are actually bringing down the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah came to rest upon these things. Klei HaKodesh asher yoshel subahem, the vessels that we use for these avodas. Ubahem nemar, about them it says, Ki avodas HaKodesh aleihem, lakosei fiso. Since the main avoda of the Mikdash was to be brought by them, they had to carry it with their shoulders. Meaning again, since they were carrying what we're calling the internal organs of the Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't carry them on wagons. They had to carry them personally. Just like the internal organs don't have bones, they're much more refined. So here too, the carriers of these internal organs, we don't use more coarse physical levels. We don't use oxen with wagons. Well, they themselves carry these things. These internal organs are sustained by the more spiritual levels of the body. Fine. And then the next class of Nevim, Vehem Bnei Gershon, who is the family of Gershon, they're already carrying the outer organs of the Mishkan, but the softer, less coarse ones. They carried the curtains and the coverings. They carried all of the different furs and skins that were covering the Mishkan. And then the group under them, named Bnei Merari, children of Merari, they carried already the most coarse physical limbs, organs of the Mishkan, if we'll call it that. Krosav, Brichav, Amudav, Adonav. The boards, the beams of the Beis HaMikdash, the hooks, etc. These were already really the most outer organs of the Beis HaMikdash, the ones just protecting the whole business. That was more like the feet and the arms. These already, as coarse, less vital, more external organs, just like the feet and the arms, they have the bones, they have the hard stuff. So here also, Nezru Shtei Akitas Ben Tziyosim Ba'agolis. These groups were able to use wagons and oxen to support their load because it was already less spiritual. It could be more brought down into the physical realm. Kama Sha'amar, like it says, Shtei Agolis of Bnei Gershon Va'arba Agolis of Bnei Merari Kefi Avodasim. Two wagons went to the children of Gershon and four to the children of Merari in accordance with what they did. So here basically he's just lined up the constitution of the Beis HaMikdash and basically paralleled it to the constitution of the body in order to show us that it's basically the same idea. From the most physical levels, you're supporting more and more refined levels of physicality until you actually make that transition from the physicality into the spiritual realm, and from there it continues to support then connect to the highest and loftiest of spiritual levels. That's how it works with the body, that's how it works with the Mishkan as well, and this is how he's setting up our understanding of the Avodah, the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mishkan. So here we finish with this parallel, but he's going to put this into perspective and develop the idea a little bit further next week.